So today we're going to move on to the and look at the fifth church, which Jesus addresses in Revelation. This is the church of Sardis. It's not the church of Sardis in the lower mainland in Abbotsford. That's not the church he's talking about. He's talking about the church of Sardis in Asia Minor. Sardis was a fairly large city. And you know, it's interesting. It was a large city because there was a gold rush back in the 6th century B.C. We only think of the gold rush just happened here in California, but actually over in Asia Minor, there was a gold rush. And it became a business, military, and a religious center about 80 kilometers east of Ephesus. And it became those centers because it was situated on five roads. Five roads intersected at that place. So it was a place where everybody traveled, so it was good for business. It became a religious place because there was lots of people around, and it was good for manufacturing and the military because of the strategic point it was. And we read what Jesus had to say to the church, about the church, about the Christians in Sardis, starting in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. We read this: "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." And we're not going to talk about the angel or the seven spirits and that. We've already talked about those. But let's watch this video. I don't know about the church in Sardis. I don't know if Mr. Bean would have fallen asleep in the church in Sardis. But the church was in pretty bad shape. It was pretty sad. It was tragic, actually. Think about it. Jesus himself is coming and saying that you're dead. Your church is dead. Can you imagine if Jesus came here and stood here and said, "You know what, folks? Your church is dead." You'd go, "Whoa, that's pretty heavy." After all, a church, by definition, is a place where God lives. It's a place where Christ lives. It's a place where the Holy Spirit lives. It's a place where Christians are supposed to be alive. It's a place where people are supposed to be able to come and find eternal life. It needs to be a place where things are happening. And in the church of Sardis, it wasn't happening at all. So let's take a look and see what had gone wrong, what might have gone wrong. Jesus states, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead." The churches of Ephesus and Thyatira, Jesus had also started out with those same words. He said, "I know your deeds." But he then affirms them for their hard work and their perseverance and their love and their service. He has all this affirmation for them. But did you notice in the church of Sardis, there's no affirmation? He says, "I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead." He doesn't say, "I know your deeds, and these are the good deeds that you have." There was nothing there. The church was just going through the motions. And you know, when a church just goes through the motions, when they just come and they gather on a Sunday morning and that's it, and they just go through the motions, really the church is worthless. And unfortunately, even today in every denomination, there are churches which are just going through the motions. So, why was the church dead? Is it because they were a smaller gathering than those that were alive? Is it that just big churches are more alive? I hear that quite often. Oh, it's a small church. Must not be much happening there. But the truth is, churches are good and churches are bad, not because of the size. Bigger isn't necessarily better, and smaller isn't necessarily better. Healthy is better. Alive is better. God-honoring is better. Having compassion is better. Reaching those outside the walls of the building is better. Staying faithful to God is better. It's not about being big or small or how fancy the building is. It's all about the heart and the passion of the Christians, of the believers. It's about their heart and passion which they have toward God. It's about being filled with the life of the Holy Spirit. You know, the truth is, most churches in British Columbia, most churches in North America are under 50 people. Most churches are under 50 people. And there, I would say that many of those are not dead. They're alive. So it's not about the size of the church. It's all about being alive with a passion for Jesus. Jesus states they had a reputation, but the truth was they had no reality. They had a reputation of being alive, but no reality of it, because they were dead. They had the image and made sure the image looked good, but underneath, things weren't very good. They were dead. Let me try to illustrate it this way. The star Pollux is the brightest star in the Gemini constellation. It's about 34 light years away from Earth. That means the light that's shining today from Pollux will arrive on Earth 34 years later. In saying that, the star Pollux might have burned out 30 years ago. It still has the image right now. If you went out and looked at the star tonight, you would see it. It still has the image of being alive, but truthfully, it's dead. It's burned out. And we'll see it for maybe another 4 years, but it's burned out. It just has the image of being alive. Now, let me be clear, I'm not a scientist. I'm not telling you. Don't everybody go home and say, hey, did you know the star Pollux burned out 30 years ago? You're only going to be able to see it for another 4 years? Don't do that. Don't say, this is what I heard. That's not even on the internet. But eventually we'll see that it's dead. Jesus is telling the church, telling the Christians, that it's not all about the image. It's not about the big worship band. It's not about the big name pastor. Well, it is next week. But it's not about the flashy buildings. It's what's deep down inside. It's all about having a solid faith and being excited in what Jesus is doing in our lives and in our communities. Also, the church cannot live on past reputation of being alive. Oh, we were alive, but we can't live on that. The church can't live on the past reputation. It might be able to live on the past reputation for a bit, but a church that's dead, the community will eventually notice. Just like the star is dead, eventually they'll notice it's gone. The community will notice. The reputation might have been that the church was alive, the Christians were alive. Can't live on past reputation. Again, it is the heart of the Christians burning with hunger and desire for God. That's what it means to be alive as a Christian, as a body of believers. We need to have more than just a reputation of being alive. We need to be alive. We need to be alive. Jesus mentioned to the churches of Smyrna and Pergamum that he noticed that they stood, how well they stood under the hard persecution that they suffered. Yet did you notice in the church of Sardis, there's no mention of persecution. Jesus doesn't say, oh, you're a persecuted church, and that's why you're dying. No, there's no need for the mention of persecution. As Warren Wiersbe wrote, there is no persecution because there was no invasion of the enemy's territory. The unsaved in Sardis saw the church as a respectable group of people who were neither dangerous nor desirable. They were decent people with a dying witness and a decaying ministry. That's how Warren Wiersbe described the church of Sardis. A dead church. No persecution. You know, there's a real way of guaranteeing if you're getting persecuted too much, there's a way of guaranteeing that you'll never, ever be persecuted. Just do nothing. Don't share your faith. Don't witness. Don't get excited about Jesus. Do nothing, say nothing, attempt nothing, start nothing. Don't impact anything. Guaranteed, we won't be persecuted. We have a problem if we're not being persecuted. For we read in 2 Timothy 3:12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will live a nice and smooth and rosy life, and it'll be happily ever after. No, it says that we will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. Paul declares if we are living for Jesus, we will be persecuted. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that we're to go out in our community and just be totally annoying to people so we can get persecuted. Let me really bug you so you'll persecute me. That's not what we're saying. Yet if we are living for Jesus, if we're living like Jesus, people will persecute us. There's no doubt about it. So I think it all comes down in the church of Sardis and churches like that, that they've lost a passion for God. If we, they didn't really care anymore. They've become complacent. They've lost a passion, a hunger, a desire. They've lost it all. They just come into church and it's just, well, check that off my to-do list for Sunday morning. if we have lost our passion for God, if we have lost our passion for God's word, if we've lost our passion for living for Jesus, if we have more anxiety than hope, if we are now more cynical than compassionate, we might have a reputation of being alive, but we're starting to die. How do we get that passion back? How do we relight the fire in our souls so we are alive once again? Listen to what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Jesus says emphatically to the church, to the believers, that they need to wake up. Everyone here has an alarm clock. And you know, nowadays you can have an alarm clock or it might be just on your cell phone, and you can set it so you can wake up to that nice soothing music, and it's not bad. You sort of slowly wake up. It gets louder if you don't get up right away, but it's not too bad. But that's not the way alarm clocks used to be. How many know that alarm clocks are annoying? Beep, beep, beep. You know, it's time to get up. Why are they annoying? They're annoying because they want to catch your attention. They want to call you to action. It's time to get up, to get out of bed, to get a shower, to get dressed, and get to the appointment or whatever you need to do. The alarm clock is a wake-up call to get going. If you don't listen to the alarm clock, if you continually hit the snooze button — I never understood why there was a snooze button. I thought those were so silly. But if you continually hit the snooze button, or even worse, shut the alarm off and roll over and go back to sleep, we'll be late. In fact, we might even miss the appointment. This isn't just any wake-up call. Jesus says, wake up. It's a wake-up call from Jesus. It's a wake-up call from Almighty God. He says, wake up. The Greek word here for wake up has the idea of coming out of our slumber and being alert. Jesus wants us to wake up. He's calling us to action. Listen to Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Jesus is saying, if we want to be alive, and yet we have been dying, then we need to wake up. Remember what we once had. Remember what we once heard. We need to repent and obey what we had and what we heard. You know, when we first came to Jesus, where we were when we were so excited about him. Oh, I know. We've talked about that word repent a few times over the last few weeks in the churches of Revelation. But the truth is, we're required to talk about it. Because if we don't talk about it, we could push it aside. You could come to me and say, Pastor, I don't want you to talk about repentance anymore. And I'll tell you what, the church will die. The church will die if we don't talk about repentance. We're required to repent. If the Holy Spirit is talking to us, then we need to wake up and turn back to the Father, to those things that gave us that passion we first had for Jesus. Let's go back to verse 2. Wake up, strengthen what remains in you and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Jesus says, wake up and strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. Those are amazing words. When Jesus is saying is that there is hope, unless we don't wake up and we don't strengthen what remains, then we really will die. But we have hope because we still have some deeds. Jesus says there's deeds there in the church of Sardis. There's deeds there. Wake up. Those deeds are becoming like embers in a fire. You know how they're glowing and then they slowly get darker and darker and darker. But they're still glowing. And if you blow on them, there's life in them. Jesus states that those deeds are not complete. The Christians have stopped doing them before they're finished. There is no end to our Christian walk. It's not a time where we can just go, oh, we need to work while it's still day. Here's what's exciting and encouraging. What is unfinished, what is not completed, can be still completed. There's still time to complete the work. We can still get out there and work. It's not completely dead. If we're not completely dead, there's still hope. Watch this little clip.
I've seen worse.
He's dead. He can't talk.
Look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Now, mostly dead is slightly alive. Now.
This is a great illustration from The Princess Bride. If you want to see the rest, if you want to find out what happens if you're totally dead, you need to watch the end of the clip, another clip. But this clip from The Princess Bride is an amazing illustration of what Jesus is saying to the believers in Sardis, as well as to us today, to the Christians today. There are those who might be in bad shape, but are not completely dead. If we're still breathing, we're not completely dead. If we still have the embers glowing that Jesus in our lives, we're not completely dead. We need to rise up and complete living the life Jesus called us to. Being alive for Him. That's what He's called us to do. To be alive for Him. To be ambassadors for Him. Being His witness. Again, as with other churches, Jesus reveals incredible advantages of being the church, being His followers. He's called us to be. Listen to Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. Yet you have few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. There are those in the church of Sardis who hadn't soiled their clothes. And what he's saying is they hadn't become dead. They were still alive. They were still there. And there's people in churches that are dead around our nation that are still alive. They're there praying for the rest of the body and believers. They're alive. They don't want to leave because they want the fire to catch from them to somebody else. And Jesus says that those people in Sardis, those people that are still alive, have white clothes. And he walks with them. Wow, that's pretty neat. But he says also, he says that those who repent, those who regain the fire and passion of living for Jesus, that they have overcome. And they too will be dressed in white. And they too will have Jesus walking with them. Isn't that what we all want? See, the white stands for purity and victory. See, they've walked pure. They've walked the life that Jesus has called them to walk, and they've walked victorious. That's what we want. And Jesus says, goes on to say, that that's not all the rewards, because I won't blot your name out of the book of life. It's there. You're guaranteed. You're going to come home with me someday, and you're going to live and walk the streets of gold where there's no more pain and there's no more suffering, and you've got it made if you just stay alive. And I'm going to talk to my Father about you. I'm going to sit down with my Father and say, do you know? Do you know that church in Cache Creek? They're alive, Father. They're alive. And I want you to walk with them and talk with them. And Father, they're going to be home with us someday. How could anyone pass up amazing rewards like that? How could anyone go, no, I'd rather just be a pew warmer. I'd rather just sit there and hope that my ember doesn't go out at the end. I wonder if the church in Sardis woke up. Jesus once again wants us to hear what the Spirit is saying to our hearts, to our hearts, not the hearts of somebody else. Jesus wants us to hear what the Spirit is saying to our hearts. He's encouraging us to examine our lives and to see if we're dying spiritually. Do we only look like we're alive because of the reputation we once had but are now dying? Each Christian has to examine their hearts and ask themselves that hard question. Jesus wants the church, he wants each one of us to have more than a reputation of being alive. He wants us to have a passionate relationship with him that declares that we are alive in him. It's not wanted dead or alive. That's an old Western cliche, wanted dead or alive. With Jesus, it's wanted alive. He doesn't want dead people. He doesn't want dead Christians. He wants those who are alive. In him, we live and move and have our existence. It's in him that we have life. It's in him. Let's pray. Father, again, we know the letters to the churches, to the Christians, are very thought-provoking. They touch deep down in our hearts, and that's why you say, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us, because the Spirit speaks deep to our spirit. And Father, may we not shut out the Spirit. And I know of people who have shut out the Spirit in their lives and regretted it so much afterwards, because they've lost so much time. But Lord, may we hear what the Spirit is saying to us, and may we continually remember what we've heard and what we've seen of you. May we live for you day and night. 24/7. May it not just be a Sunday morning thing. Father, we don't want to be just a reputation. Oh, that church, those people, that person had a reputation of being alive, but I don't know what happened, but they're not alive anymore. Father, we want to be alive forever. We want those incredible rewards that you have, those amazing rewards. Lord, we want to be dressed in white. We want you to walk with us. We want our names written in the book of life, never to be blotted out. Father, we want to come home to be with you. Thank you. If you are our Savior, if you are our Lord, if we've confessed our sins to you and repented, turned the other way and living alive for you, then we're guaranteed to be with you forever. May you be glorified in our lives as we are alive for you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.